Thus, you made it through the rain. Good job this morning. Did anybody go through, the side road car wash? Yep, a few of us did. All right. When I was in Jamaica, they said, hey, we're going to go to the Jamaican car wash. And I'm like, okay. They just ran through a big mud puddle. Like, yeah, we're good. So, well, this morning, I am excited about the message. This morning, we're going to look at how to pray for America. And especially during these times, how do we pray for America? So what a great song that the choir had to start us off this morning. Well, take your bulletin. We have a few announcements that we need to go through. First of all, we have a youth activity this coming Saturday night. It is October 22nd, and meet here at the church at 7 if you're riding the bus. And the bus will be back to the church at about between 10 and 10:30. We're hoping to have, it'd be great to have 100 teenagers here this week. So, all of our youth, it says in there, do you want to miss the opportunity to show how brave you are to your friends? Or maybe you can show how brave you aren't to your friends. Either way, we're going to share the gospel with the kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it. And the cost is $5 per person. And if you're an adult and you say, hey, you know, I could come help by just helping keep traffic going or just monitoring kids, you can go ahead and see Autumn Lewis or Bo or Michelle Roberts if you could help out with that. Also, we have our Trunk or Treat that is coming up on Friday, October 28th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And it'd be great for us to have 75 to 100 cars out there. All right, so we have hundreds of people that come through for that event. So if you could come, just open the trunk of your car or sit in the back by the back of your car and hand out candy. We ask that you provide the candy for that because it's a lot of cars, a lot of people. But if you could come and just open up the trunk of your car and hand out candy, that would be wonderful because we get to expose a lot of people to the ministry here at 12th Street. And there's a lot of fun things that go on inside as well. And so if you could be part of that, we would love to have you be part of that. Two things that you can help contribute to. We have students that are in college, and we would like to bless them. So if you would like to be a part of blessing them, you can donate some things out at the Welcome Center. There is some boxes there for them. And then Christmas shoe boxes. It's already time to start talking Christmas. And so we're putting together the Christmas shoe boxes. You can take a box to fill up on your own, or we have some bins out there with age-appropriate. They're labeled by age, and if you could drop off some items that are appropriate to that age for stuffing boxes, that would work as well. And just two more reminders. There's a deacon meeting this Wednesday, and the budget committee has a quick meeting right after the service, so budget committee, don't forget about that. And I want to say a big thank you to everybody who helped move the plants and took care of that yesterday. So if you helped with that, if you could just stand up so we could say thank you to you. Everybody who helped out. We sure do appreciate your help in that. That's a big thing to get done. Well, let's go to the Lord together as we start our time together. Father, we come to you right now knowing that you are God and there is none beside you. There's no one else, Lord, that could take your place. And we thank you that as God, that you are always over all things, above all things, and no power on this earth exists without you allowing it to act. And so, God, I just thank you that this morning we can have complete confidence in who you are, and we can trust you. And I thank you, Lord, that as you are God over all, that this morning you care about each one of us individually. There's not one person here, Lord, that you don't love with all of your life. There's not one person here, Lord, that you don't care for more than they even care for themselves. And so as we spend this time here this morning, I pray that our hearts would be lifted up as we sing songs that talk about our dependence on you, our faith and our assurance. I thank you, Lord, that it's all about who you are. And that's what makes us as people. That's where we find our worth and our value. And so, God, thank you for loving every single one of us And I pray, Lord, that as we spend time together, that our hearts would be made full, that we would be just encouraged by being able to spend time with other Christians. So now, Lord, to you be all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing By Faith. And there's 10 Fridays left till Christmas. 10 Fridays.
Thanks.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. My song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day.
Can we have the ushers come forward, please?
Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. It's so grateful to be here. I stand amazed at how awesome you are. And I just thank you for everything that you do. As we take up this offering, may you bless it in a mighty way. There's people that are lost out there that we need to touch. So bless us. And thank you. Amen.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth, but thou art exalted far above all gods. we lift your name.
This time we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Put your finger there and then turn to Psalm 33 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and Psalm 33, verse 12. A foreign visitor was being given a tour of Washington, D.C. one day by an American friend of hers, and she was amazed at the sight and the size of the monuments, the congressional buildings, and so forth. Finally, she gazed on the White House itself, and she said, "That's an incredibly large building." And her friend said, "Yes, it's pretty big." And, "Big, it's huge," the lady said. "How many people work there?" And the lady said, "Oh, about half." There was a busload of politicians. They were driving down a country road when all of a sudden the bus ran off the road and crashed into a tree in an old farmer's field. And the old farmer, seeing what happened, went to investigate, and he proceeded to dig a hole to bury the politicians. A few days later, the local sheriff came out, saw the crashed bus, and asked the farmer where the politicians had gone. The old farmer said that he had buried them. And the sheriff asked the old farmer, "Were they all dead?" The old farmer replied, "Well, some of them said they weren't, but you know how politicians lie." How do we pray for America with an election that has become so divisive? How do we pray for America with the severe racial divide? How do we pray for America as we walk further and further from God? Psalm 33:12 says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." We sing the song, "God bless America." We sing it because we want America to be a blessed nation. And this verse tells us how America will be blessed when God is the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his glorious light, his marvelous light." As Christians, we are Christ's possession. Christians are not a nation of ethnicity or race, rather, a nation of people chosen by God to be holy. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be part of a holy nation. We have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light. We are called to live like people of light. Now, the words Christian and American are not synonymous. To be Christian is not to be American, and to be American is not to be Christian. To be Christian is to be taken out of the darkness of the world and brought into the light of Jesus Christ. However, as a country, we have declared that we have a God. In our Pledge of Allegiance, we say, one nation under God. Our money bears the inscription, in God we trust. The Declaration of Independence states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The only rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are those that are given to us by our Creator. There are four hot-button political issues that are drawing a divide, a dividing line between the Christian ideology given by God's word and another that is stained by the world. Did you know that 21% of all U.S. pregnancies, that includes miscarriages, end in abortion? 21% of all pregnancies in America end in abortion. On average, women give these three different reasons. And what I'm sharing with you comes from the Guttmacher Institute, which is not a Christian organization, but it's a reporting agency. On average, women give at least three reasons for choosing abortions. Three quarters say that having a baby would interfere with work, school, or other responsibilities. About three quarters say that they can't afford a child. And half say they do not want to be a single parent or are having problems with their husband or their partner. Number one this morning, abortion. 954,000 abortions took place in 2014. That was down from approximately 983,000 abortions in 2013 and 1,020,000 abortions in 2012. This decline started when the morning after pill became available to everybody, not because we're doing a better job of educating and keeping abortion from happening, just simply a different method. So why talk about abortion when talking about elections and praying for America? Abortion is a problem, and certain government sectors keep taking aggressive action to normalize the acceptance of abortion. When someone trumpets the right to abort babies, they are trumpeting immorality. Just because they have cleverly reworded the issue as a right to choose, that does not change the truth of that choice taking the life of an unborn baby. As Christians, we should not be supporting any such thing. As a Christian, we cannot side with the murder of the unborn. This is one issue that should help us sort out candidates at every level of this election. Amos 1:13 says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. In Job 31:15, says, did not he that made me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? Isaiah 44:2 says, thus says the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreads forth abroad the earth by myself. Abortion is an evil that strikes against the morality of God. We are hearing politicians cry for equality and justice and then fight for the right to kill babies whom the Lord has formed in the womb. We need to take a stand for life and speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Secondly, immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, those are continual engagement in sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, that's the worship of things other than God, nor adulterers stepping outside of marriage you are in to have a relationship with another, nor effeminate, fancy-clothed man in woman's clothing, or the submissive in a homosexual relationship, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's same-sex acts. These do not inherit the kingdom of God. These are unrighteous. Romans 1:25 says this, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet or which was proper. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The problem with homosexuality is not that it is repulsive to mankind. Who cares? The problem with homosexuality is that it is repulsive to God. The one who makes life possesses the inherent right to declare what is moral and immoral for that life. Many people live in immorality. They want to be immoral, but they don't tell the world to bless their immorality. They hide it, or they try to keep it from public knowledge. Homosexuality is immorality as stated by God. This immorality has many people that champion its cause to say that everyone else needs to bless it. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Proverbs 17:15 says, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are abomination to God. Malachi 2:17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Today, politicians want to label what I am saying through Scripture as hateful and bigoted. Holding to God's morality is being called evil. And immorality is celebrated by this world. Our nation is wearing God's patience thin because we justify evil and criticize those who hold to God's truth. We keep hearing in this election the phrase, marital equality. Has anybody heard that phrase? Marital equality. There is an assumption that humanity can redefine marriage as being between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. But Jesus Christ himself has already defined marriage through the way that God had created it. In Mark 10, it says this, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Creator God, Jesus, has stated marriage is between a man and a woman. His word states that men and men, or women and women having sex, is unseemly, indecent, shameful. It is unnatural. The fight for marital equality is contrary to God. If the government wants to give civil unions or government unions to people who want to share insurances, pass on retirement funds, all those kinds of things to the members of the same sex, if the government chooses to do so, that's their privilege. But marriage is not the government's to give. It is God's institution. Simply put, the fight for marital equality is against God's word. Even the American Bill of Rights claims our rights are given by our Creator. Yet America has fled from their Creator by outlawing creation in schools, mandating evolution. The Creator is pushed out as we kill babies, solely marriage, and worship the created over the Creator. Romans 1 instructs us that when we worship the created over the Creator, that we change the truth of God into a lie. There is no life, no liberty, no pursuit of happiness when we worship and serve the created over the Creator. Another issue that directly affects our view of the Creator is climate change. If God is Creator and we submit to God, then we should understand that He is in control of His world, not us. The weather patterns and variations from year to year are all in the control of God, not the acts of man. In Job 38, it says this, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding." All right, and all through this chapter in Job, God explains to Job, He's in control. In Job 38:25, "Who has divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth?" See, even when men are not present, it rains and plants grow. Man isn't involved in the process. God does it all by Himself. Job 38:28 says, "Hath not the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who has gendered it?" See, ice and all moisture on earth is distributed and governed by God. And then Job 38:35 says, "Can you send lightnings that they may go and say unto you, here we are?" This morning when I heard the lightning, or heard the thunder, saw the lightning, I said to Rachel, I said, "Job 38:35, we can't tell the lightning to come, but God does. And what does the lightning say? What's the thunder say? It's actually saying, here I am. Here I am, God." See, as Christians, we are stewards of the earth. But we also know that the Lord is in control. The agenda of global warming, sorry, that's not the phrase. The agenda of climate change, politics, is based on a premise that there is no God in control. Does climate change? Yes. There was a tropical canopy around the world until the flood. After the globe was covered with water, there was receding of water, followed by some of the remaining waters freezing. And who was in control of all that climate change? The Lord. And who is in control of any climate change that may take place today? The Lord. The Lord is the one, not humanity, that will destroy the world. In 2 Peter 3:10, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." We're not going to change that, no matter how much we lower carbon emissions and everything else. We cannot serve policies and politics that remove God from the equation of being the keeper and preserver of the world. Colossians 1:16 and 17, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Fourth thing we need to talk about is racial divide. One of the saddest things we have to deal with in this country is the racial divide that seems to grow wider and wider. We live in a country with racial prejudices because we live in a country where Creator God is not worshipped. Acts 17:26 says, "And has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." In Romans 5:18, it says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." All people on this earth are created with the same rights to salvation. Creator God gives every race his salvation. We are all of the same blood. We are all from the same blood of Adam and Noah. We are also saved by the same blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are commanded to prefer other over self. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Jesus also said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." As Christians, there are no whites, blacks, yellows, browns, or reds. We are all one in Christ. Unfortunately, there are many who call themselves Christian who do not accept God's morality on these four issues. They somehow attempt to separate their politics from their faith. Our faith needs to guide our politics. How do we pray for America with the election that's become so divisive? How do we pray for America with a severe racial divide? Here's what we have to do. Follow 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land." The problem in America is not that the world is bad. It will always be bad. It always has been bad. The problem is that Christians, or at least those calling themselves Christians, have lost their way. If we are Christian, then we are a follower of Christ. We are, by the nature of our declaration of Christian, one who goes after, follows the way of Christ. Our prayer for America is not for the world to become moral, because it can't. It is the world. It's lost in darkness. It's lost in sinfulness. Jesus didn't pray for the world. In John 17:9, Jesus said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." We do pray that people get saved, because that's the only hope for more people to bow to the morality of God. We pray for salvation. But our prayers for America need to be for those of us who are saved. Our focus can't be on making the world or making evil somehow turn good. Jesus' prayer was for us. For those of us who have faith, our prayer for America needs to stop being, "Lord, make them." How many times have we prayed that? Lord, make the politicians stop being corrupt. Well, they're of the world. They're corrupt. It needs to be, Lord, make me. And it needs to turn into, corporately, we need to say, Lord, make us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people called by my name. When that was written, it was Israel. Today, it is Christian. You can read Galatians 3, especially Galatians 3, verses 7 through 9, to make that clear. Today, the people who have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ are God's people. Americans are not God's chosen. But Christians, no matter what nationality, no matter what land they live in, are God's people. Now, as Christians who live in America, here's what our prayer needs to be. Number one, humble ourselves. Prayer is just as much about attitude as it is askitude. It's my own word I made up, askitude. Because that's usually all we do is when we pray is it's just full of askitudes, right? But it's more, God cares more about our attitude. Because the attitude in prayer is humility. Submit to all of God's moralities. That's what it means to humble ourselves. To submit to all of God's moralities. And where we fall short of God's moralities, we repent, we confess, we forsake, and we have mercy. Secondly, seek God's face. The word seek, it means to pursue. What are we pursuing? We pursue all of God's moralities. See, when we pray, we say, Lord, I humble myself before you so that I can submit to all of your ways. And then when we try to think about his ways, we have to seek his face. We pursue his moralities, because that brings us to the third thing. Then we can turn from wicked ways. This is God's people doing the turning. The Christian doing the turning. You and me doing the turning. When we have prayed for America, we've been praying for the wrong things. We have been praying that the evil world would somehow become good. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for you. You need to pray for you. You need to fix you, and we need to fix us. So how do we pray for America? Submit, seek, turn. That's how we pray for America. Not for the world, but for the Christian, or at least those that call themselves Christian. Then, 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, not before, but after. If my people submit, seek, and turn, then God says he'll do something. This is conditional. It only happens if God's people submit, seek, and turn. Then God will hear. God will forgive. God will heal our land. See, God heals for the sake of his own name. Our entire land needs healing. It isn't healed by any other means than our God giving the healing. Before you can direct God through your prayers to heal our land, you need to confront your own sin. I need to confront my own sin. We need to confront our own sin. A December 2015 Gallup poll showed that about 5% of Americans identify with a non-Christian religion. 20% have no formal religious identification, and 75% identified themselves as Christians. What would happen if people who called themselves Christian would submit, seek, and turn? What could America be like? I had the opportunity to preach at a church in Jamaica for a week, and the pastor of the church, his name was Pastor Moore, he had a stroke that left him unable to put words together. He couldn't say any words. He couldn't put two words together. Couldn't form any sentences. He was very engaging when you talked to him, nodding his head and shaking, and you knew he was understanding everything, but he was not able to form words. And every night before I had the opportunity to preach at his church, he grabbed my arm, he pulled me into a breezeway, and he would start to pray. And he could clearly put together the most beautiful sentences. And here's what he did. Here's what he prayed for. He prayed for his people, his church. He prayed that God would help them to repent of their sin. He prayed for his community, that the Christians that were in the community would stand up for what is right and do what was right. He prayed for his own self, that God would forgive him for his sin. And then he prayed for his country, Jamaica. And he prayed that his country that he was so proud of, that just the Christians in Jamaica would get serious again about God. When he finished praying, I tried to talk to him and he couldn't put together another sentence. It was incredible. You know what? He didn't think of that as anything other than a blessing. Because the only words that Pastor Moore could speak that another person could understand were words he spoke in prayer. How about for you and I? We do a lot of complaining about America, don't we? We do a lot of complaining about the candidates. And there's a lot to complain about. What if the only words we could say were prayer? And if we did it the right way, it wouldn't be God help those terrible people. It would be God help me. Change me. God help us. I mean, 75% of America claims to be Christian? What a shame if what America is today is Christian. Because it's not. Today I want to ask you to join me in prayer to submit, seek, and turn. God heals the land by healing his people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come together right now knowing that you alone can remedy what ails this country. There's a lost world, Lord. There are people who will die in their sin and pay for their sin through separation forever from you. We do pray, Lord, this morning for the salvation of souls. Lord, they won't hear unless someone is sent to speak to them the truth. Help us to be the ones who are sent. And as we pray for our country this morning, Lord, I pray that you would forgive me for my sin. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for our sin. I pray, Lord, those who know the name of Jesus, who confess the name of Jesus, would bow to the moralities that you state in your word. Pray, Lord, not for the world, but for those whom you have saved and those who you will save, that we will stand firm upon your promises and be bold for your truth. Lord, help us to see you more clearly. Help us to know who you are, to love you. So I ask for your blessings upon this people as we turn from our wicked ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can just remain seated. I'm going to just encourage you, pray during this closing song. Talk to the Lord. Let's not talk about others to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord about us. And I believe that God can heal our land if we, his people, would submit, seek, and turn. Beautiful. What do I know? Lord, as we close out this service, we pray to you, the one who gives life. And I pray, Lord, that we as your people would never once allow for abortion or the support of it to be named among us. I pray, Lord, that immorality, any form of immorality, would not be found among us or accepted. I pray, Lord, that we would bow to you, Creator, and not allow for ideologies like climate change to pull us or to pull others from knowing that God is in control. And I pray, Lord, that racism would not even be found among us in jest, that it would not be part of any part of our lifestyle of who we are, because we are your people. And as your people, we are all one in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would never accept policy that violates any of your word. So God, as we live in days that are turbulent and full of trouble, we look to you, the God who has every answer, the only one who can heal. And Lord, we know that even on November 9th, after the elections take place, that you, God, will be on your throne, and you will be holding your children, and you will be loving us and helping us. And Lord, in mid-January, when a new president is sworn in, you will still be on your throne, and you will still be in control, and there will be nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, Lord, to you right now, we just let you know that we love you, and we lift ourselves, our hearts, our heads, our hands to you, and we say, Lord, we love you, so we submit to you. You are God, you are Father, and we trust you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, Elizabeth McDougall has come. She has just been diagnosed this week with breast cancer. And so she would like for her church family to pray with her. So if you would like to stay and pray with her, we're going to do that right now. And budget committee, don't forget, we got a meeting after we're done praying with Elizabeth. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed.